What does it mean to take hold of eternal life? If you think eternal life is just living forever, Timothy would have told Paul, "Hey, Paul, I accepted Christ 25 years ago. What are you telling me to take hold of eternal life? I took hold of it 25 years ago." But he understood it because he'd been with Paul for 25 years, and Paul taught him that eternal life is not length of life. It's not something you just receive in a moment and that's it. It's not like a tablet. You take it and you got it. No. Eternal life is to know God the Father and to know Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, get to know the Father better. Get to know Jesus Christ better. Imagine, Paul is writing that to his closest co-worker. Don't you think that's important? I would say to everyone sitting here, take hold of eternal life. Get to know your Savior, Jesus, better. Get to know your Heavenly Father better. There's a lot of difference between knowing Him as a loving Father who provides for you and getting to know His nature. Because when you get to know His nature, you get that yourself. Then you can be a better father to your children. Then you can be a better spiritual father to others in the church. Do you long? Do you have a longing to be a helpful brother or a helpful sister in this church? Not just one who warms the chair every Sunday for a couple of hours. There are people like that. I call them seat warmers Sunday morning. They come and sit on a seat for 2 hours and warm the seat and go. That's the Christianity of many people. But if you go beyond that and say, Lord, I want to be a helpful brother here, not just by putting money in the offering box, and not just by cleaning the floor or picking up the trash or other little things. I want to be a help to some of the people younger than me here who need you. I've been here so long, and Lord, I don't seem to have done anything to help people. If I get a chance to preach, I preach. But what about helping some of these younger ones on a one-on-one? Do you have a burden to call someone younger and talk to them personally and encourage them? How long have you been in this church? If you haven't done it till now, the chances are you won't do it in the next 25 years either. You'll be a seat warmer all your life. Start now and say, Lord, I want to lay hold of eternal life. I want to know Jesus better personally. And then you won't have to, no one will have to push you. It'll overflow from you. I remember in the early days, my witnessing was like a hand pump. I don't know whether you've seen a hand pump. In India, in the villages, they don't have any running water in the houses. So somewhere in one street, there'll be a hand pump. So early morning, the women will come with their, like the woman of Samaria came to the well. They come to this hand pump with their buckets and other vessels to collect water. And there's be one hand pump. They've got to stand in line one by one. This man, you pump and pump and pump and pump and keep pumping it, and the water comes out little by little by little. It's connected to a well underneath. My life was like that, and my preaching was like that, where I was pumping, 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 till gradually, as I got to know the Lord better and I allowed the Holy Spirit to fill me more and more, it became like a river. I want to say to you in Jesus' name, God's promises to you. Please take it today if you have never taken it before. In John chapter 7, if anyone is thirsty, I want to ask you, from what you've heard from me just so far, have you got a little thirst in your life? No, I want that life, which Brother Zach just spoke about. I want that type of life, which overflows, where nobody has to push me. Where I'm fearless for Christ in my place of work, where I'm not ashamed to be known as a disciple of Jesus Christ everywhere. Are you thirsty for that? I don't mean do you have a weak desire. Are you desperately thirsty, like a man who's wandered in the desert for a whole week and his tongue is parched, you'd be willing to give up all your money to get water. That type of thirst. You say, Lord, I heard something today which has given me a thirst for a higher life than I have right now. I want it. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. It's an invitation to anybody here who's become a little thirsty this morning for the type of life that you don't have. You want to lay hold of eternal life. Jesus says, come to me. Just like you came to him long ago to get the forgiveness of your sins. Keep coming to him. The Christian life is one of keeping on coming to the Lord. Keeping on coming. Because I'm thirsty for more. I've received a tremendous lot from the Lord in the 62 years that I've known him since I was born again. But I tell you, I'm more thirsty today. Believe me, I'm not trying to project something. I mean it. God is my witness. I'm more thirsty today than I ever was to know my Father and to know Jesus. He's already become a very intimate friend of mine. But I want to know him better. This is eternal life. I'm inviting you to enjoy it. The Christian life is not boring. When you get to know Jesus, it's not boring. He's the most interesting person in this universe. If you get to know him, and you get to speak to him, and you allow him to speak to you. Come to me and drink freely. Come to Jesus and receive and receive and receive. He's not asking you to produce anything. He's asking you to drink freely. And if you do it, and you trust him, from your innermost being, verse 38, rivers of living water will flow. That will bless people. Not a few drops here and there, rivers. You can be a blessing. It is God's will for you, I say to you. Every one of you, if you have ears to hear, please listen. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Let's turn back to Ephesians in chapter 1. I pray that the God of our, Ephesians 1:17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing him. I pray that your eyes will be enlightened to know what is the hope of his calling. Why did he call you? He called you so that you can become like Jesus more and more. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You know what that means? That sentence means? The Living Bible paraphrases it like this. I pray that your eyes will be opened, not to see how rich you became when you received Christ. No. How rich God became when he got you. Can you believe that? You can't. That's why your eyes have to be opened. How rich God became when he got me. And you sink down and say, that can't be possible. Can't be. We must be talking about somebody else. No, about you. How rich God became when he got you as his child. When you responded and opened your heart. 1% of this world. You belong to the less than 1% of this world who opened their life to Christ. And God became rich. He created the world so that everybody would be his children. But not even 1% in the world are his children today. And you happen to be to that small number. Like in the world, they talk about the top 1% of people who are the richest people in the world. Spiritually, you're the top 1%. Did you know that? Spiritually, God became rich when he got you. If you're a sincere Christian, Not every Tom, Dick and Harry who calls himself a Christian. If you're a sincere Christian, if you're one of those who come to church when you feel like it, seek fellowship when you feel like it, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those who are serious about their Christianity, who want fellowship all the time. God became rich when he came to you. He doesn't become rich with all these others who seek their own convenience. I want to follow Jesus when convenient. No. But I believe most of you, anyway, are sincere, and I still want to say to you, God became rich. It's like this, you know. If you think of a billionaire who's got houses and lands and property worth billions, not millions, but billions, and he's got one son, one little boy. You ask him, what is your real wealth? Is it all those billions or is this little boy of yours? He'll say, I'd give all that away. This son is my wealth. That is what God says. All the universe that he's created, that's not his wealth. He owns more than any billionaire on the earth. He owns the whole earth and the heavens and the planets and the stars. But he says, I became rich when I got you. And Paul is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, I pray that your eyes will be open to see how rich God became when he got you. But do you behave like that in your relationship with God? Is your response to God the same as the way he longs after you? Or is it like a lazy type of response, where your love for him is weak compared to God's fervent love for you? And then he prays one more thing. I pray that God, you will experience the surpassing greatness, verse 19, of his power toward you. There's a lot in that. I don't want to go into it. Our time is up. But you can read it on your own. But there's a very precious passage. Read on your own when you go home from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 down towards the end. And ask God to open your eyes. Read it again and again and again. And if you see a stoplight, read it for a whole week or a whole month. Till you understand it. It'll make a world of difference in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to know you better, to know the Lord Jesus better. Open our eyes to see how rich you became when you got wretched sinners like us to be your children. Lead us to that life in the Holy Spirit. We thirst for it. I believe there are folks here who are genuinely thirsty, who are longing for you. I pray you will meet with such ones soon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.